There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can even email me your audio file. If you want to record it on your mobile device, we can play it back. Send me the MP3 or what have you to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's how you get your stories to us. That's how we share them on the show. Then, of course, you can react and interact with other folks who've listened to those stories up there on our Facebook page. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online on Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram, Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat. Ghost Podcast is what we are at under that there. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I wanted to throw large chunks of bok choy at the speakers at the grocery store today.
Why?
The grocery store that's close by has the word country in the name of it, mm-hmm. And boy, do they mean country.
Okay.
They grocery stores play music, mm-hmm. But it was ultra depressing classic country day.
Okay.
At the grocery store. It was kind of odd. And I've been there several times now, and I don't, maybe it just hasn't stood out to me, mm-hmm. or what, but are they always playing loud classic country music at this grocery store?
Yes, that one are they?
Okay. Because even like in the parking lot, you can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go inside. I don't know what the song was, but I was just like, I was kind of walking, I was pushing the cart, and I'm like, what the hell? And, you know, some of the classic country songs, mm-hmm. they can get pretty depressing where,
yeah.
It's like, I mean, I don't want to sound cliche, but it was like one of the most cliche sounding classic country songs I think I'd heard. Like, I wanted to know what it was. Because I'm like, oh, I could use this in like as a joke or something, because
sure.
It like included everything. It included like the dog dying, the wife leaving, the truck breaking down. I mean, anything that you'd go and like be in, you know, an ass about, mm-hmm. with country music. It had it. I'm like, oh, maybe this is what they base that joke on or something. But mm-hmm. It was just kind of awkward, you know. I don't know. It didn't make me want to shop.
No.
It was more like, drive me out of the store.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you remember Kmart Radio, right?
Oh, yeah, the Kmart Radio Network.
Well, when I was killing time at Walmart today while I was having my oil changed,
mm-hmm.
Walmart, I don't know if it's every day, but they now have their own version of Walmart Radio.
No kidding.
Piping it loud and clear. And it's like two people talking and playing songs. And it's like stuff that was popular when we were in high school.
Uh-huh.
No joke.
And they're actually like DJs.
Yeah. Oh. At least if it's recorded, they
sure.
still interact with each other and make it sound like it's a morning show.
And they talk, and do they like talk like you're listening to the Walmart Radio Network?
Yes.
Oh,
exactly.
Wow.
So you got to check that shit out.
I'll have to take a look at that. Sometimes if I want to find something different to listen to, I'll Google the Kmart Radio Network. And somebody actually they had the cassette tapes that they used to run at the Kmarts.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy dubbed them all into like YouTube. And now you can listen at your leisure to the Kmart Radio Network circa 1988 or what have you.
Uh-huh.
And it gives you like the time and the date of when this would have been playing in the Kmarts. And then it plays like Christopher Cross Ride Like the Wind. And then it tells you about the Blue Light Special at aisle 8.
Okay.
And visit the Kmart Deli to get an icy and a sub sandwich.
So, yeah, I don't know if this is.
That's awesome.
Just in this general area. Because, I mean, Bentonville's not that far from where we are.
Which is where Walmart is out of.
Yeah, yeah. And they mentioned Bentonville. So I don't know if it's just for the
it's the local.
Or what.
It's like, well, our Walmart had its own radio station.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing. I'll have to take a look at that. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I love the department store radio stations. Sonic has the Sonic...
Sonic Radio.
The Sonic Radio. But, I wonder if I'm missing it. Is there any other store-branded or restaurant-branded radio networks out there that you guys can think of? Post it on Facebook underneath the thread for this show. I'm really curious to see if there's anything else out there I'm missing, because they're just funny to listen to. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. I just wanted to share another story with you. We were talking at Christmas time. Well, my family and I. We always have a tradition where we tell ghost stories around Christmas Eve time. It's so fun. We've been doing it since I was a little kid. So my husband decided to share a story that I had completely forgotten about. We were living in a townhouse that we were just renting while we were waiting for our house to be built for about 6 months. And when we moved into it, I had a weird feeling when I was home alone. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I was then. I had two of my kids were very small at that time. And they were both in school, and during the day when everyone was gone, it just felt, I felt like I had eyes on me, put it that way. And the upstairs bathroom shower, it had a huge vaulted ceiling. It was a beautiful bathroom. I loved it. I hated the house, but I loved the bathroom. And when I would get in the shower, halfway through my shower, the lights would just completely shut off. It was terrifying, first of all, if you had shampoo in your hair and got it into your eyes. It was painful. But it was really scary if you're home alone. You don't know what's going on. And it would happen only to me. It did not happen to my kids. It did not happen to my husband. It was only to me. So I told my husband about it, and he said that he would let the landlord know and have an electrician come out and look, because he said, well, it must be from the humidity in the bathroom. It's getting the wires damp or whatever. So the electrician finally came out, and he said, nope, nothing's wrong. You're good to go. Don't know why they're shutting off. Just turn on the exhaust fan while you're in the shower. So I did that. And in that bathroom, there was vanity lights, and then over the shower was kind of like one of those warming lights. So if you were in the shower, the light was strong enough. It was a dim light, but it would kind of keep the bathroom warm, or keep the shower warm, you know, while you're in the shower. And then it had an exhaust fan. So all of those were on three different switches. About a week before we were going to move out and move into our home, I was in the shower, and I was, you know, just doing my usual thing, and everyone was home at this point. The lights completely shut out, and it was nighttime. It scared me. I called down to my husband. I was like, hey, the lights turned off. He comes up, and I realized, as soon as he came in the door, the vanity lights came on, and he said that he saw for a split second, he thought he saw the flip switching up, the switch flipping up. And I asked him, I said, did you turn those on? He was joking. And he said, no, I didn't, because I know when you're in the shower, you run the exhaust fan and you run that little light that's over the shower. So the little light was the one that was on. That one shut off. But when the lights came back on, it was the vanity light. And then the exhaust fan came on too. So two different switches. And he said, why would I do that? You know, I saw it. He said, I saw it come back on as I was walking in. I could see in the mirror because I came around, you know, up through the bathroom. And I just thought it was the oddest thing. But it didn't happen to anybody else. I have a daughter who at the time was 11 or 12, and she would take the longest showers. Never happened to her. Never happened to my son when he was in the tub. Never happened to my husband. Only me. So I don't know if I was being watched while I was taking showers. I don't know what the deal was, but I thought that was a good story to share. And I hope you guys have an amazing 2017. We love your show. Our whole family listens to your show. We love being EPP members. I love the really scary stories on there. And I think it's just a great outlet for people to share their stories. So I love you guys so much. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I would take it personally. If it was just happening to me when I was in the shower, I would totally take it personally. Something is messing with just me.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I mean, if there's, it's one thing if it's like a common thing and everyone's like, oh God, nobody likes taking showers here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something there that's clearly, you know, interested in that. It's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy because it doesn't matter if it's live, something live or something dead. You don't want anything watching you in the shower.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very vulnerable place to be. And I suppose, you know, something that's kind of dark and wanting to, you know, make someone, you know, feel very not at ease. That would be, I guess, the token place to find the person.
Mm-hmm.
or to get that message across. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Melissa, and I'm calling from Bakersfield, California. First, before I tell you my story, I just want to say thank you so much for the podcast. I spend hours driving around for my job, and it is so much easier to listen to a ghost story than trying to find a working station on the radio. So thank you very much for that. Tell you about the ghost story I'm calling in on. It happened probably about, I would say 20 years ago. And it was when I was on board a famous cruise ship that's now a hotel in Long Beach. As part of a professional conference, I was staying the night on the ship for a couple of nights. And the second night on the ship, I had gone out with a group of friends, and we had gone to the bar, and I had not drank, but my roommate, who was there at the conference with me, had drink, and we got back to the room. She was a little tipsy, so she went right to bed. And in these rooms, I guess because it's a ship, they're called cabins, the rooms are really, really small, and with being historic, it's really scary to kind of wake up in the middle of the night and not know where things are in the room. So we left the bathroom light on as we lay down to go to sleep, and I'm laying in bed, not really sleepy, but trying to be quiet because she had already passed out. And about this, we went to bed about midnight, so this is probably about 2 o'clock or so. The doorknob for the room coming in from the hallway started jiggling. And I could hear children out in the hall playing, and it sounded like they were playing some kind of kickball game. So I got up thinking, well, there's some kids out there, and they're probably harassing people who are trying to sleep. So I got up, and I could see from the glow of the bathroom light, the doorknob going up and down. And so I reached over, and I thought, well, I'm just going to scare them. So I waited to see the jiggle of the doorknob again, and I reached for it real quick, and I opened up the door, and I think I screamed something like, ah, gotcha, and no one was there. And I looked out in the hall, and no one was out in the hall, and I thought, well, maybe they ran around a corner, or they went into another cabin. And so I laid back down and thought, well, they're not going to come back now that they know I'm awake. And no sooner had I laid back down than the doorknob starts jiggling again, and I'm hearing the kids again in the hall laughing and playing and kicking a ball or something down the hall. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so frustrating. I'm going to go out there, I'm going to yell, I'm going to find their parents, that's just going to be it. So I get up again, and I go over to the door, and I thought, this time I'm going to do it right when I see it start moving, the doorknob start moving again. And of course, lo and behold, the doorknob starts moving. So I immediately grabbed the door, threw it open, jumped out in the hall in my pajamas, and I'm like, gotcha! And of course, again, no one was in the hall, and everything was dead quiet. I thought, oh my gosh, now I'm being the one disturbing everybody in their room. So I turned around and laid back down. And I was a little annoyed at this time. I thought, if it happens again, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go door to door until I find those kids. And I laid back down, and I could hear the kids again playing in the hall with a ball or something, but they were not jiggling the doorknob. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to leave them alone. They stopped jiggling the doorknob. That's all I need to stop doing. So the next morning, I get up, and we go down to the front desk to ask a question. And I get to the front desk, and the person at the front desk said, well, how did you sleep? And my roommate was with me, and I said, you know what? I would have fallen asleep a lot sooner if the kids hadn't been playing in the hall. They were playing ball, and they were jiggling doorknobs and stuff like that. And I said, you know, my room number is this, and you might just want to figure out where those kids are and have a discussion with their parents, because it's very disturbing that parents would let their kids run around at 2:00 in the morning and disturb everybody who's trying to sleep. And the guy at the front desk looked at me and he goes, ma'am, we do not have a single child on the ship right now. I go, you're so full of it. You do too. And he goes, no, ma'am, all the rooms are taken by people here with this conference. And because it's a professional conference, there's no families. There's no children. And he goes, I think you've been tagged by one of our ghosts. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have known, because that would have been so cool knowing it at the time, as opposed to trying to find the logical conclusion for it. Anyway, that's my story, and hopefully I'll hear this, but if not, that's okay as well. I know you guys get a lot of stories. Thank you so much for all you do. I really enjoy it and really appreciate everything. I can't wait to keep hearing more stories as an EPP once I get that membership going again. Thanks. Bye.
So what I want to know is, did the guy know of children ghosts on the ship?
I would assume so. I know, like, in the pool area, they have that.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to, that's my knowledge of the Unsolved Mysteries episode, where it was they hear the splashing, back when they used to have the pool filled.
Mm-hmm.
There would be splashing and people seeing footprints, and the pool was not technically open at the point of it being docked and such. That I know that there is, but, you know, down up and down the hall, I'd imagine if you have them somewhere, you probably got them other places too.
Yeah.
So judging by the nonchalant response of the staff, it was probably very much, yep, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you, ma'am, for the story. Okay. That's great. Continental breakfast is at 9. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number, at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you've been hearing EPP mentions. That's our extra podcast person programs. You get those at ghostpodcast.com. That's where we have basically the support of the show going. That's $5 a month. You get all the access to all those EPP episodes, 130 some of them up there now. Also, the episodes that have fallen off of iTunes and such, those are up there as well. So all in all, there's several hundred episodes you can binge away on that you'll only find at ghostpodcast.com. So check that out. Let's go to the caller.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Lonnie from Tooele, Utah. I'm a fairly new listener to your podcast, and I found it back in October 2016, and I've been binge listening ever since. I wrote a story into you guys a couple days ago about my time working in a nursing home and many experiences there, and I know how much you and Jenny love hearing stories that come from nursing homes, hospitals, and other places like that, so I thought that would be a fun story to start off with. Anyways, I have a couple stories for you today that are kind of related to each other, but I need to give a little bit of family background information first. I have four younger siblings, and all of us have had many paranormal experiences. Both of my parents have also had many experiences. My mom has seen and heard things, but it isn't as often as kids or my dad. My dad, on the other hand, has had many paranormal experiences, and so has that whole side of the family. These experiences range from seeing shadow people, voices, hearing footsteps, poltergeist activity. I have a very good Ouija board story for you, things levitating, the list goes on. I will definitely write in these stories for you so you can hear them. They're really, really creepy. So needless to say, being sensitive to things is in the family. I myself personally have been experiencing things since a newborn, and I will definitely write in and share those stories with you as well. So to start off with my story, I was around 11 years old, and I was helping my youngest sister at the time, who was 1.5, get ready to go shopping with my mom. And my mom had asked me to go get her tennis shoes, my sister's tennis shoes, from her room. So I get to her room and I start digging through the closet looking for a pair of tennis shoes. And as I'm looking, I hear this little girl's voice behind me say, "Hi, Lily." I jumped for obvious reasons and I looked behind me and I didn't see anybody there. So I quickly grabbed the tennis shoes that I was looking for and I ran out of the room. I went to find my mom in the living room. And when I get to the living room, I asked my mom if she had heard this little girl talking. And my mom said no. So I told her what happened and what I heard. And as I'm telling her the story, she gets this shocked look on her face. And she says that after I'd left the room to go get the shoes, she heard a little girl say, "Hi, Mom." And she looked at my sister and asked her if it was her. And she said, "No, Mom, it wasn't me." So my mom's confused at this point because she obviously heard a little girl say, "Hi, Mom," and it's not my sister. And my sister looks at her and she says, "You know, Mom, that's my sister." And my mom says, "What sister?" And she says, "My sister in heaven. She's waiting to come down." So it was a very odd experience. And she tells my dad later that day what had happened. And they had made a decision to have one more child, which was hard for my mom because she had rough pregnancies with all of us. So that she ended up getting pregnant a little while later, and it ended up being a little girl. So fast forward a couple of years, I'm now 15 or so, and my baby sister now is about 2. The youngest sister is about 2. And I'd been trying for a while to get her to say my name. And little kids always seem to have a hard time with saying my name because it starts with an L, so it always ends up as Nani. So we've been practicing for a while, and one day she finally said my name, and it came out as Lily. And when I heard that, I was kind of shocked, because then I remembered a couple years prior to that how I had heard a little girl with the same tone, and it was the exact same voice that I had heard that day getting those shoes. And I just thought it was a really cool experience that I got to hear her before she ever came down. Now for my next story, it's about my son. I am married now, I'm 27, and I have a 3-year-old. And he seems like a very old soul to me. He started talking very early on and is still a very good talker and can explain things very well. He seems to know things that he shouldn't understand at this point because he's only 3. But anyway, so he was about 1.5 to 2, and he started talking about a brother and sister. And he would play with them or act like he was playing with somebody, and he would start saying bye-bye to them. And I thought that was kind of odd, but I didn't really think anything of it because he's, you know, he was almost 2. And around this time, I started hearing him talking with somebody while he was in taking a nap. And he would say bye-bye to them. And I never felt anything bad or felt uncomfortable or felt like it was, you know, something that I needed to address. I just thought he was, you know, being 2. So anyways, this he started doing that on and off a lot. And there was one time I was in the kitchen making him lunch, and he was playing on the floor behind me, and I heard a "Hi, Mom." And I turned to look to see what he needed, and he looks at me. He goes, "Mom, that wasn't me." And I said, "Who was it?" And he goes, "It was Sister." I said, "It was Sister." And he said, "Yeah, well, say hi, Mom." And so I said hi to kind of, you know, appease my 2-year-old. And I kept hearing, you know, a little voice say, "Hi, Mom," on and off for about 6 months. It always startled me, but again, I never felt uncomfortable. So then he started talking to Grandma. And he would say bye to Grandma. And this grandma that I'm talking about is my husband's biological mother, who passed away when he was 7. So my son has never met her. And he still, to this day, every once in a while, will say things about her that only my husband knows. And so it's always just kind of odd. But anyways, so fast forward just slightly. My son is 2.5. And my husband and I decided that it was time to try for another baby. And a couple months later of us trying, my son, again, I was in making lunch for him, and he comes in to me and he says, "Mom, guess what? I have a baby in my belly." So I figure he's just kind of playing and goofing around because he has a very active imagination. And I said, "Oh, that's cool." And he says, "Mom, you have a baby in your belly too." And I was like, "Oh, that's silly. Okay, you know, you're just being goofy." And so I put him in a chair and I give him his lunch. Well, a couple days later, I found out that I was 2 weeks pregnant. So that was kind of crazy that my 3-year-old knew, or 2.5-year-old knew, that I was pregnant long before I even knew. So that's my story. They're kind of related. I think it's kind of interesting that me and my mom have had similar experiences as far as hearing future children, I guess. As far as my son goes, I'm really interested to see what you guys think. I can write in and give you some more stories of things that he's done, but I'm not quite sure if he's empathic or if he's just sensitive, because he's always talking about random things that he, you know, like family members that he's talked to that he's never met, and he talks about feelings that he gets when he's around certain people, or, you know, when he sees certain things. So I'm not quite sure which he is, or if he's both. But anyways, sorry the story is so long. I hoped you like it, and I can't wait to hopefully hear it on your show. And again, I am really enjoying your show, and you guys are doing an amazing job, and I think it's great that people can call in and share their stories and not feel like they're going crazy because other people have similar stories. But yeah, keep up the great work, and hope you have a good one.
I think it runs in the family. Mm-hmm. So I think he is sensitive, the little boy.
Sure.
And I think it's amplified by going through childhood.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably be something that's with him forever, but maybe not as strong as it is now.
Sure. Do you think that if you're a kid and you're attuned to it, that it goes away? If you're, it's like a muscle or a skill. If you don't use it, it kind of goes away. But if you're more attuned to it and you realize what it is and you understand what it is as best you can as a little kid, and you kind of keep growing with it and wanting it,
mm-hmm.
are you more likely then to still be aware of it as you get older, or does it kind of fade away no matter what you intend?
I don't know, because I don't know how many, say, 10-year-olds are focused on
sure.
making sure they don't lose their
yeah.
sensitivity. I mean,
sure.
that's just something that I don't know if it's because as they get older, they get in school, they get distracted with other things, mm-hmm. and life goes on, and, you know, kids have a hard time focusing as it is
yeah.
without having that on their minds.
Sure.
So I don't know if a child put effort into staying that way, if they would be able to,
mm-hmm.
or if, you know, it's kind of like how you want to be 3 feet tall your whole life, but if you're a kid that's growing mm-hmm. and you're not going to.
You can't control
no,
it.
No, it's like Harper wants to be four her whole life.
Sure.
But she's not going to be.
Yes, she is.
No.
We tell each other that every day, and I'm cool with that idea. And I said, you have my permission to stay four your entire life.
I would love that, but it's not going to happen.
No. That's what I was wondering, you know. Obviously, most kids aren't going to be attuned to it. I'm just wondering if you were attuned to it, if that would stay. You know, that's
maybe.
But again, like, how do you, you know, find a 10-year-old that's going to be paying attention to that?
Or that realizes they're different.
Exactly. Exactly. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm on my way from Washington, D.C., and have a long drive ahead of me, so I thought I would call and leave my story. I'm a little nervous about talking, recording myself. Whenever I was young, my parents would always talk about how I would wake up in the middle of the night and talk about the faces that were in my windows and the people who were watching me sleep. And I don't remember any of that happening, but I do have one very vivid memory from when I was about 8 years old. I had an older sister who was 8 years older, or still is 8 years older than I am. And so at the time this took place, I was 8 and she was probably about 16 years old. And her bedroom, we both had bedrooms on the second story of the house, and her bedroom had a little bit of an outcropping, like a bay window feature. So whenever it would storm, her room would be pretty loud. And so sometimes she would come climb in the bed with me, and that wasn't unusual. One night, I remember waking up and it was storming. And I looked out of my bedroom door, and I saw a person standing there. And so I assumed it was my sister, and so I called out her name, and no one responded. And, you know, I called out her name again, still didn't get anything. So being a little kid, I pulled up the covers, like, above my head, and I just kind of rolled over, tried to block it out. And then I heard footsteps walking around the side of the bed, and I felt the covers pull back. And I felt someone climb in the bed, so I felt like the mattress go down. I felt them kind of get comfortable. And so I knew that there was someone in the bed with me. The next morning, we got up, and my family was having breakfast together in the kitchen. And I made a comment about how, you know, my sister had gotten in bed with me last night, kind of feeling, you know, proud, kind of making fun of the fact that my sister was scared, and she came and climbed in bed with me. And she was very adamant that she did not climb in the bed. And so I started getting freaked out, and my parents got really, like, irritated with my sister, and, you know, were like, tell your sister that it was you climbed in the bed. And she was adamant that she did not climb in the bed with me that night. And I could tell that my parents were freaked out about it. And even to this day, whenever I bring it up, a couple of weekends ago at Christmas, I actually mentioned it to my mom. And I could tell that she remembered, but that, I mean, she even said she didn't want to talk about it. And I also remember being young, and the whole family would be down in the living room on the first floor, and we could hear footsteps start on one side of the house and walk the second story hallway. And as a family, like, we would mute whatever we were watching and we would listen to it. And, you know, my dad says now that it was just the house settling, but you could definitely hear footprints or footsteps going from one side of the house to the other. So anyway, that's just one of my stories. I have a few more stories that I'll call in and do at another time. So hope you enjoyed it, and thank you.
As a parent, I have no idea what I would tell my child if that conversation was had in our household with the two girls.
Really?
I really don't. I mean, because honestly, it's like,
I don't either. I'm just saying, really?
Okay, because you had me knowing, like, maybe you had it all figured out.
I have no idea.
Okay.
And you know, and when I said really, I'm like, my tone on that was not reflective of how I felt. It was more like, really? I know what I'm talking, but
like,
I don't.
Really? You're like the worst parent ever.
No, that's not.
Okay.
I was more like, really? And I can't do it. But anyway, maybe really is the wrong word for
Well, you totally made me feel like an idiot. Thank you.
Sorry about that. No, that maybe really is the wrong reaction word there. But I have no idea. I don't know what I would say.
No, to try and not freak either of them out.
I don't know. there's just no way I think of handling that. I mean, with kids especially, you know, and no matter, you know, what their personality types, until you're to a certain age, it's like that topic, it's just like they're going to be freaked out no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't really go there with it. So, no. Really?
Thanks.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hi, guys. This is Shannon in South Carolina. I don't know if this will get put on the show or whatever, but I just needed to talk to somebody about it, and this seemed like the best place to do it. I don't know if this is a paranormal story, really. And it's kind of a different one, but I'll tell you anyway. My family is a dog family. We love our dogs. If anybody out there knows what I'm talking about, you'll understand the story. Me and my sister are both, my sister's 29, I'm 31, and you know, neither of us have children yet. So our pets, our dogs, are like our children, basically. So just prefacing this with that, this past weekend, my sister had to put her dog down. She had a corgi. She and her husband had had it for probably about 5 years. His name was Thunder Horse, and we loved him very much. And he was part of the family. And it was very sudden because what happened was he had a herniated disc in his back, and last week they noticed that he was having some trouble being touched. He didn't like to be touched, and so they took him to the vet, and they thought he had probably just sprained something in his back, like pulled a muscle or something. And so they gave him some pain pills, but it just kept getting worse and worse, and they took him to the emergency vet early in the morning, this morning, and they were told that the surgery he would have to have done with the herniated disc and the amount of nerve damage that he had already, there was only about a 5-10% rate of survival. So they chose to just go ahead and have him put down. And that was a very, very tough decision for them. Immediately when I heard that, I was, you know, she was texting me throughout the whole thing. She was telling me how he was doing. She told me he had to have surgery. And she told me later on this morning when they had to put him down. And immediately I thought of I thought of my dogs, and I thought of my my little dog, Toadie, and how sad I would be if I had to put him down. But there's a reason why I already knew how she felt, and it was this. This is the weird part. Friday night, a couple of nights ago this weekend, I had a weird dream, and it was just, it was remarkable, and you know, in the emotion that I had in the dream, that I even told my husband about it the next day, and I don't tell him like all my dreams that I have. But what happened in the dream was this: my little dog Toadie, like, bear with me because this is like dream logic and dream storyline here. He my little dog was playing with some other like ghost dogs. This was, you know, ghost dogs in the dream. I don't really know. They were just like kind of like see-through dogs. And he was playing with them, and we were in this really old house, and they tricked him, and he fell through the top floor, which we were on, of this house, and he fell through to the very bottom floor, and it was a long drop. And I looked down from the top floor into the, you know, through the whole really old floor, and I saw him lying on that floor, and I got down to him as soon as I could in the dream to see how he was, and he wasn't moving, and he was injured, and I picked him up, and he had he had a big gash in his back, and in his guts were kind of coming out of it. You know, it was really sad, and he wasn't moving. So in the dream, I just, I for whatever reason, I put him in a box, and for some reason, I put him on ice. I don't know why I did that, but I put him in, put him in this box, and I took him to the emergency vet, and like in the dream I just handed him to the emergency veterinarian, or you know, whoever is there, receptionist, I don't know, and I didn't know if he was gonna be okay, and I ended the dream. I woke up kind of like not knowing if he was gonna survive. And this was before I knew that my sister's dog was having back problems. The very next day, she told me he had, like, you know, some, you know, they went to the vet and her dog had had back troubles. And they thought that maybe it was just, you know, like a pulled muscle. But I didn't really think of it. I didn't think anything of it. And I didn't think of this dream that I had had. Two nights before they had to actually put him down, until this morning when she told me that that's what they had to do. And then I called her later this afternoon after I got off of work to just see how she was doing, and you know, because she was sad and I was sad for her. And she told me everything that happened. And she said that one of the odd things that she said was that she put him in this box to take him. Which was weird, because normally she would have put him in a pet carrier, you know, anyone would have, but because he wasn't himself, he actually bit her on the hand because he was in such pain. They put him in a box with a blanket. They didn't put him on ice. That just came from nowhere, I guess. They took him to the emergency vet, and so I don't know. So there it is. It's just a weird dream that happens to match very similarly to something that actually happened. If you switch out my dog with her dog, it's just eerily similar events and similar structure of things, and I don't really know what to make of it. I don't really, there's nothing useful about it, I guess, because it's not like some kind of like thing where I could tell her to watch out or, you know, be careful. It's just like this dream that I had that, I guess if nothing else, it kind of let me know in the moment, it because it was my dog, it let me know exactly the kind of pain she was feeling. So I guess it, in that way, it let me have that extreme level of empathy for her. At any rate, I told her the dream, and, you know, I told her, and she was glad I told her, and I just wanted to know what you guys thought of it. I know it sounds silly, like, you know, you wouldn't, I guess, think that you would mourn that much over your dog, but, you know, if you have a dog, you know how it is. And anyways, just tell me what you guys think, and I hope you're doing well. Bye-bye.
I think there was an empathic connection there,
mm-hmm.
you know, between sisters, and I understand, you know, the being having fur babies and being a pet parent, you mm-hmm. know, I understand that completely. So I think that, you know, it was just one sister feeling the immense pain that the other sister was going through.
Yeah. I think if anything, I think you're right onto that, and she was asking, like, what's the purpose of this? Why am I having this? I think it might just be to kind of put yourself into the mindset so you can be empathetic to the other person. And it's because you just experienced a lot of the emotions for yourself,
mm-hmm.
so then you can be there for the other person, and that's probably what that was.
Yeah.
You know, paranormal, yeah, ghostly, hard to tell. It's weird. Why are these things triggered? How do they happen? I don't know. But they certainly, I think, fall into the kind of ghostly paranormal realm.
Sure.
All together. So thank you for sharing that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your experiences with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person, at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all those bonus episodes of the show. You get exclusive video content and a lot more. Only $5 a month, or sign up for that entire year. Get one of those months free and a bunk bed bell before signing up there at ghostpodcast.com. And we greatly appreciate it. That's what keeps this show on the air, is your guys' support at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.